So now I'll let Brother Bryce come and finish his lesson. I don't know. Happy Mother's Day. You know, the greatest person in my life in every way was my mother. If I'm worth anything, by the grace of God and the help of God, she was the reason for it, because of the raising that she gave me, in spite of being backslidden out of church for a number of years. But I believe that God made a home, and he made mother the anchor of the home. And I believe that that is the foundation of society. And the reason our society today is eroding and corrupting around us is because that we've had our mothers have left their place in the home. Now, much of it wasn't by choice, but nonetheless, it's happened. And so, Mom, you're important. You're the hope that the future generation has. And what you give them is what the future generation will be. And what a blessing and a privilege that it is. I watched my wife, my children's mother, raise my children. And basically, she raised my children. And I watched as she molded and shaped them by the help of the Lord and the grace of God and the Lord's people, the Lord's churches. And it's a beautiful thing to see a woman in her place doing the work that God intended her to do. Second Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 28. Mother, you have a duty to your church. So I'd like to speak to you on this morning. And you say, well, not every mother's a member of the church, but God intended every mother to be a member of his New Testament church. He intended for their children to be raised up in a New Testament church, exposed to the Word of God and to Jesus at a very early age, that they might learn to love the Lord and that they might have the blessed life that that can bring for those who will submit to it. 2 Corinthians 11:28, the Bible says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, concerning church, concerning the Lord's churches. The reason their great concern is the truth, and the truth makes one free. And the only real freedom that we enjoy is the truth that we receive from the Word of God. Everyone outside, our society has thrown away the Word of God, the truth, and they've abandoned it and took in everything else, every falsehood and every perversion that there is. But the thing is that we're being brought into bondage more and more and more. How much is your life controlled today compared to what it was 50 years ago? How much is it controlled? We're losing our freedom because we've abandoned the truth of God's word. And Jesus, when he said, you'll know the truth will set you free, meant what he said. If you don't, you're not going to be. You're going to be bound with the influence of Satan and others who are following after him. At any rate, Mother, you need to be concerned about your church, your home church. You also need to be concerned about the Lord's churches because of the influence of truth on society and the freedom that it brings and the freedom that it will continue and bear out. Your duty is to attend church. Hebrews 10, Verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, or ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling, assembling together. Listen, attending church is expected of God. Now you could say he commands it, but he wants you to freely come of your own free will and go to church and learn the truths that God has that bring such a great benefit. So, Mom, God expects you to attend church, not forsake the assembly yourselves together. And that is a sacred thing. You should not forsake assembling yourself together in a Scripture New Testament church. That's God's intent for every individual. And Mom, if you go to church, so will Dad and the kids. When I first got in the Lord's work, a lot of women in church, very few men. They were all out working the log woods and drinking and carousing and so forth. When Mom would get in and stay in and get the kids in, then pretty soon Dad would come along. But when Mom didn't do that, Dad didn't come along. And so, need to attend church. You need to be involved in church. Church helps us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of truth. Grow in the grace and knowledge that brings us freedom. And the more that we have the grace of God working in our life and the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God and reality of everything, the more enjoyed we're going to get out of life. The more content we're going to be. The more capable of handling situations that come up because of sin in our world today. Need to attend church, and when attending church, it brings gladness. In Psalms 122 and verse 1, David of old said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go in the house of the Lord. Do you come, Mom, and you're bored, or you come and it's a drudgery? Listen, it should be a special rejoicing time for us when we come together. We come together for one another. We come together for the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together in his presence. Listen, that's something that our forefathers of old desired but never could have. They never could meet in the very presence of the Lord. There was a veil in between them. But we come together, he's in our midst. We're here in the same area that he's in specifically. And what a blessing. We ought to really, truly be glad. We ought to even sometimes shout for joy because of the great privilege that we have that others haven't had. Your duty, Mom, is to love the people of your church. To love the people of your church. Do you have hatred and bitterness? Do you have resentment? Are you at odds with others in the church? Shame on you. Shame on you. The Spirit of God is hindered when there's contention and division in the midst. We need to be kind and affectionate one to another. Look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verse number 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Are you closer than with your friends who are out in the world than you are with the brethren in the church? What a blessing that you're missing if that's the case. We should be kind and affectionate one to another. You know, sometimes some of you just irritate the devil out of me. But I can't let that rule in my life. I can't let that come between me and you. You know why? Because you love the Lord and I love the Lord, and I love you because you love the Lord, and you should love me because I love the Lord. That's the whole thing.
That's right.
The whole thing. We be brethren, Abraham said to Lot. Yep. And look where Lot got his, being out in the world wanting worldly things and going in the worldly way.
Right.
Look what it got him.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in the olden days. It works the same way today, folks.
Yeah.
Hate to tell you, but it definitely does.
Yeah.
Should never be weary in helping one another.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing."
Right.
Be not weary in well-doing. You know, the Bible says something about helping those, especially of the household of faith, especially of the membership of the New Testament church. We're not here to take advantage of one another. We're here to help one another. We're here to help one another grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God. We're here to help one another grow in wealth and material so that when you put the Lord first, then His work prospers. You know, a prosperous people will produce a prosperous work for the Lord. So, they should love one another with a pure heart. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, See ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. You know what? We can choose who we love. We can choose how much we love. We ought to choose to love the brethren above all. We ought to choose to love the brethren as we love our own household and our own family. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We're to love one another as ourselves. The Lord Jesus is the head and master of the church. John 13, in verse number 13, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." He is the Lord and the Master of the church. He's the Lord and Master of the membership of the church. He's the Lord and Master of each of us as individuals in the church. In other words, it's for Him to have His way and not you and I to have ours. Sometimes moms get a little selfish sometimes. Every once in a while they get preferring their little ones to other little ones. We should in the church treat all the young ones equally as our own. Works. It works.
Amen.
We got examples in our work. It works. When I got into work, some of these little kids that got saved and got baptized now have grandkids.
Yeah.
And it works.
Amen.
There are families in our work who did exactly what we're talking about here. Mom did it mainly. And what happened? Their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren are still in church. Still in church. It works. Don't fuff it off. Don't let the world mess you up. Don't let them pull you away. Don't let them make you worldly-minded. Let them make you resentful and bitter. Satan's done his work well when he gets you that way. Lord is the master. Look to Him. Abide with Him. The church is to be subject to the Lord Jesus. Look at Ephesians 5, verse number 24 says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Jesus is worthy of reverence. Revelation 4 and verse number 11. By the way, preachers call themselves reverend. There's nothing reverent about a preacher. He's just a sinner saved by the grace of God with a lot of extra responsibilities that God's called him to. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I don't remember chapter and verse right now, I believe it's in Isaiah, it says that there's only one that's reverend, and that's Jesus. Only one that's reverend, and that's Jesus. So, he's worthy of our reverence. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
Amen.
He created all things for his pleasure. And by the way, that simply means we're created in our mother's womb individually by him. To please him.
Amen.
Not ourselves. Not even your husbands. You're created only to please him. If you please your husband much of the time, if the husband is doing what God would have him to, you'll be pleasing him. You'll be pleasing Jesus. Your duty is to recommend the church. Church should be recommended for its faith. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8. Well, I've lost that one. Romans 1:8. Yes, read it for me, please.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
All right. So it should be recommended because of its faith. Not only is faith in practice, but the faith that they practice. They live by faith. They walk by faith. Listen, the Lord's work. We talk a lot about getting the Lord's work done. The Lord's work is not done carnally or fleshly or physically. It's done by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't have faith that he can see us through things, we're defeating ourselves. We're not showing him the reverence and respect. And we're not pleasing him, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And our faith should be greater than any other, because we have preserved in the New Testament church the faith once delivered to the saints. Truth of God's word. The church should be recommended for her fellowship. Look at Acts 2 and verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." Continued steadfastly in fellowship. The order that we see this in should tell us how important fellowship really is. And we should do everything that we can do, make every sacrifice we can make in order to preserve the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the brethren. Because they continued, first of all, in fellowship, and then everything else went well as they added to it. Mom, your duty is to defend your church. To defend your church. The church should be defended against false teachers. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." We need to defend. And mom, you need to know your Bible. You need to know the doctrine. You need to know the teaching. You need to know the facts concerning the Word of God. The church should be defended against those who cause divisions. Look at Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Mark those that cause offenses, that cause divisions, that cause strife. Mark them, set them aside. The church should be defended against worldliness. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The church should be defended against worldliness. In other words, Mom, don't let worldliness come in through your home and your family into the church. Don't be worldly. Don't let the world dictate to you how you live, how you dress, what you eat, or anything else in your life. Don't let the world dictate to you. Let the Word of God do it. Let Jesus do it. Your duty is to pray for the ministries of your church. Prayer should be made for every ministry and outreach. As a matter of fact, every individual member of the church. Look at Colossians 4 and verse 2. It says, "Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving." Continue in prayer. Watch in thanksgiving. Many of the Lord's churches aren't even having prayer meeting services on Wednesday night. Wednesday night been set aside back through the 2,000 years of the Lord's churches for a night to come together and have the emphasis on prayer and lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer, as well as intercede for others who are in dire need. And many times, much of the time, many of us don't even pray when we're having prayer. Mom, you know what? You can be a leader in these things. Lamentations 3:41 says, "Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Let us lift up our heart. What is prayer? Lifting up the heart to God. Not lifting up the mouth. Not lifting up the head. But lifting up the heart. And if you don't know and understand the difference between the head and the heart, you might want to examine the Bible and see where you're at. You might want to see, because you may be out in the world. You may be out in the control of the devil, and you don't realize it because you become religiously inclined, and you've been religiously inclined most all of your life. I know people that's been religiously inclined and members of a New Testament church who have, after 40 or 50 years, realized they didn't get saved that first time around, and they got saved. Yeah. Don't be too secure in yourself. Prayer for the church's ministry should be, and all prayer should be, in the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Prayer in the Spirit. What is prayer in the Spirit? It's prayer with the Spirit. It's prayer from the heart. It's not prayer from the head. It's not a repeat after me. It's not just saying words. It's not just talking to yourself. It's reaching from your heart up to God and laying on the altar the needs that you have and the needs of others on your behalf. Mom, you have a great responsibility, but if you accept that responsibility, you'll have great rewards. If you don't accept that responsibility, you'll not only mess your life up, your family's life, but your children's life, And your children then will mess up other people's lives, and it just goes on and on and on and on. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, when I do that, I'm going to provide all this other stuff for you. Why do we not believe him? We believe him, we say, in order to be saved. We believed him, but we just can't believe that he'll provide. We can't believe that he'll make a way. We need to really, truly believe him to the extent that we'll put him first, no matter what the cost. And realizing the reward later is going to be greater than what the cost is. And we need to truly put him first. Do you know what first is? Do I know what first is? Sometimes I don't know what first is. We all are guilty. It first means first, and it means first all the time. Doesn't mean first when it's convenient. It doesn't mean first when I like it that way. It doesn't mean first. It doesn't mean my way. It means always his way, he's first, then you. That's God's plan, his intent. That makes a happy life, makes a happy mother and a happy home. Otherwise, they're unhappy. Let's stand. What shall we sing?